Started. Father, I do thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for the privilege we have to gather together. And Lord, as we think about Brother Paul, thank you for his testimony. And Lord, certainly as we look at what you're doing in our life, Lord, as we'll see that in the lesson this morning. And Lord, even as we think about what's going on there in Honduras, and Lord, I pray that you would restore that power according to your will, Lord. And sometimes you desire us to have these situations. Lord, pray that you would make your will known, and for Joy that she might get well through this and regain her strength. And Father, pray that you bless us this morning. Lord, help us to see that which you've determined for us, and we'll give you thanks for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it was just the other day I was down here. Seems like it. I'm almost a bit, we're going to be in the book of James again. We're going to continue through the book of James. I'm a little bit, it bothers me a little bit that people think I'm from Pennsylvania. I am not from Pennsylvania. We've spent the last almost three years in Pennsylvania, but my wife is from Pennsylvania, so you can call her Pennsylvanian if that's the thing. But I was born in Iowa and raised in Texas. And if you spend any time in Texas, you become a Texan. And so that's just the way that is. Doesn't mean I want to move back there. Right? And so God has now called us to Florida. So we're going to be Floridians. Right? And that's just the way it is. And so I'll claim that. I'll claim that. When I was there, I was okay with them saying I'm from there. But let's refer to me from... sorry. Okay, we're in James in chapter 1. We began this when I was here before, and I thought I would continue with that a bit here. In verse 5. We'll kind of get a little bit of a review here. Who all was here who wasn't here the last time? Okay, not too bad. A couple of you. All right, well, I'll give a little bit of a review. We'll kind of get caught back up to the thought here. And if I reviewed the whole message, we'd never get anywhere. Sometimes what we do, we want to review so much that we just preach the same message twice. You ever do that, preacher? No. Never? You forgot what you preached? No. Anyway, so look here. Verse 5, the Bible says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord." So this letter started, this epistle of James started with this this strange idea, right? The strange idea of joy in temptation. It says in verse 2, he says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations." So the joy comes as a result, as a dividend, if we'd say, or product of the temptation or the trial, he calls it also here. The trying of our faith, the temptation, the situation. So joy comes of a product, but the product that comes here, then we find in verse 3, is patience. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So patience itself isn't what brings joy. Okay, it's part of this process. The joy actually comes from the product of patience. So we see this thing that's coming along here. It has one thing that the trial brings forth, then the patience, and then the patience has a product of as well. And so patience produces, rather, as the Bible says, that works are perfection. Our perfection. Look at verse 4. "But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." So, we find then that the joy comes from the maturing in Christ. Amen? Amen. You with me? Amen either means I agree with you, or I'm following you, right? I'm You know what I mean? Y'all understand? I'm not going to try to teach you something new, but I am going to try to teach you what I would, you know. Amen. So if I look at people who are just, I think, okay, I didn't say that well. So then I repeat. And so if you want me to keep moving, just amen. Amen? Amen. Good. Okay. So then this joy, it comes from the maturing in Christ. It's the product of this, really. It's the product of understanding what God is doing. Isn't that exciting? Brother, you were just talking about this with this. I'm so glad that was a situation, the testimony, because this is when we understand that God is doing something. Trusting that God's the one doing it. And enjoying God's presence in our life. God's brought this thing to my life, right? God's brought this to my life. God's doing something. So I'm going to trust Him with it. I don't know how it's going to go out, but I can understand that. So that understanding takes wisdom. If we're going to really understand this thing, what God is doing, it's going to take some wisdom, and this wisdom comes from this process. Now, again, in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and abundantly, and it shall be given him. So, wisdom is not the same thing as knowledge. It's a different situation. Knowledge can be learned as a product of study or practice. You ever hear this phrase, practice makes perfect? That's a lie. I've practiced things and I never got perfect. Practice makes better is the way I like to say. Practice makes better. If practice made perfect, then we'd all be, you know, I'm just going to keep going at that. Practice does make better. But the knowledge isn't the same thing as wisdom. Wisdom, as the Lord tells us, can only come by faith. See, wisdom is becomes a product of faith, not of knowledge. And so we see in verse 6, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So, wisdom then comes really as a result of trusting God, of believing God. So faith then is the key to unlocking the door of understanding God. Okay? Faith is the key to unlock that door of understanding that God's doing something, some of these things. Now watch this. The inverse is not true. Understanding God is not the key to unlock the door of faith. So in other words, just because I understand God's doing something doesn't mean I'm going to trust Him in it. Right? I could say, I've heard a lot of people say stuff. Oh, I just trust God. I'm just trusting Jesus, right? And then the trial comes. Right? Or something like this. We will say something like this. Oh, I know God has this thing. I know I'm trusting God. I know God has this thing. And then we live like that ain't true at all. We live with this kind of wringing our hands like, I don't know what I'm going to do, preacher. I don't know what I'm going to do. And so we're saying one thing, but living it out differently. And by the way, we all find ourselves in that thing. Sometimes it's good when we can say, hey, are you trusting God? Well, yeah, but you know what I'm saying? So just understanding God isn't the key to faith. It works the other way around. So then when we're trusting God, the trying of our faith, just as our brother said, becomes a welcome event. I mean, that testimony couldn't have helped any better for this message. I appreciate it. I really do. Because it says exactly, isn't it great when the Word of God is something we're thinking, we see it actually practically? You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it's like, well, this is good stuff, and it'd be good. It's good for really perfect people. You know, for other people, I'm just not there. But the fact is, when we will follow the Word of God, we'll see it. God does this thing in our life. And trusting God, when we're trusting God, listen, the trying of our faith becomes something that we welcome. I mean, who would say, if cancer comes back, I'd be glad so I can serve the Lord. Who says that? Well, this brother here, right? Who says that? You know who says that? Somebody that understands what God's doing. That He's doing something. Man, that is... You see where the joy comes from that thing? It's so weird. Isn't that weird? It's strange. God, would You bring trouble in my life so I might serve You? Now, don't say that on purpose. I mean, I don't know. Be ready. Be ready. If we're going to invite God to afflict me, but it has a product that we're seeking. This thing of our spiritual maturity. So a immature believer ought not stand up with great boldness and say, just bring it on, I'm ready. You know, because you're not. But when we get to this place, and God, by the way, God is so much wiser than us. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. If I was in charge of my own, I'd be dead. You understand? God gives us what we can handle. And He does it in a way that we can begin to grow from that thing. And then it's almost kind of, you ever thought like this? Wow, if God's doing that to prepare me for something else, what's next? You know? You're like, wow, what's that? And then you get to there and you're like, okay, this isn't actually as bad as I thought. And then you think, okay, now what's He prepared? You know, and you find out. And by the way, it's not always this kind of thing, like I'm preparing for the next worst thing. It's not always in that sense. Sometimes God's just doing something in your life so that you can be a testimony to someone else. Are y'all blessed by Brother Paul's testimony? Does that encourage you? Encourages me. Encourages me, somebody that, you know, you get it. God is doing something. It's encouragement to me to say, listen, this isn't just preacher talk, right? This is reality, and it's exciting. And so there's this thing that we're seeking is this spiritual maturity, and that's what produces the joy. Somebody that's full of, somebody that's bitter is not a mature Christian. You understand? Well, I'm just so wise in things of God, I'm just mad at everybody else that's not. Well, that doesn't even make sense, does it? You know what I'm saying? Well, I've just figured out so much, I'm so close to God, I'm mad at everybody else that's not up here with me. That just doesn't seem to kind of make sense together. But as we get closer to the Lord, imagine as we get closer to the light, it shines a little brighter on us. And we don't find out how much better we are. We find out how much more we need the Lord. And so then we have this joy. Thank the Lord He let me get that close to Him and what's going on. So the joy isn't produced or doesn't come after maturing. Listen, it comes... So what I'm saying, the joy doesn't come after this maturing process in a way that, okay, whew, I got through that. Now, no, it comes in it. You see, during it, with the trial, because we realize God's doing something. Okay, that was the review. Sorry, we're all right. 15 minutes? Good. Therefore, verse 9. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. So we find here two situations that are talked about and mentioned. First, the brother that's of low degree, low in position, low in respect, maybe low in status, maybe low in financial situation, whatever this thing is about this low degree. It could be any or all of those things together. Often they're kind of grouped together. And then the second one is the brother that's rich. Often with wealth comes all the positional qualities, right? Rarely do we have a poor politician that's successful, right? I'm just saying, why is it that way? It just is. I said rarely. Sometimes that does work. And, we can, in America, even a peanut farmer can be the president. Maybe the worst one ever. But Well, used to be the worst. Now he's getting competition. But the what I'm saying, though, is this thing is this. There's this positional thing. So what we find here is, so when the brother of low degree is exalted, he should rejoice. It's a wonderful thing when we're elevated with a promotion. You ever got a promotion and said, oh, man, now they're going to want to pay me more money. You know, now I'm going to get to make the decisions. You know, this is just, you ever felt guilty about getting a promotion? You know what I mean? I mean, you know, sometimes we do. It's like other people are like saying, well, you know, so now you're the boss. Now you're the, and so they kind of can almost, we have a tendency among, you know, Christian folk, we want to make other people feel bad for doing well. Well, you're just kind of getting carnal, aren't you? You know what I mean? It's almost like there's this thing that we can get this thing that you ought not to want to. Well, we ought to just be, you know, we ought to be glad to be paupers. We can almost kind of get that thinking, you know. And so, you know, listen, there's something here. We should never be ashamed at the goodness God gives us. When God gives us goodness, and we're, isn't it funny? It's like, man, I've just praised the Lord for this. Wow, you're really up there. Well, yeah, I just really, you know, we got, so we were traveling, and we got this RV. We went and got an RV. I mean, it was a 37-foot Winnebago. And I thought, man, I was kind of, as a missionary. So I'm rolling up in this church with a bus that's bigger than the church sometimes. You know what I mean? I'm just this. And I thought, oh, man. I mean, I'm trying to raise support, trying to, you know. And I thought, I pull in this thing, and I'd have a preacher say, wow, that's pretty nice. Huh. Missionaries are living well now, and this kind of thing. And I just, well, you know, it's kind of, and I would say, well, you know, it's kind of older one, and it's got some damage. And I would start kind of, you know, beating it down because I felt bad for having something. You know what I mean? Yeah. And this would go church after church. And I think the preacher was just trying to be, you know, talking. You know, this, wow, this, you know. And I, somewhere along the way, I just, pretty early on, but somewhere along the way, I just thought, you know, how can I do this? I'm saying, look, isn't it good what God blessed me with? And then I'm saying, yeah, but it's not really that nice. You know, it was just this. And finally, I thought, so then I'd go, I just got that in my heart. And the Lord said, did I give it to you or not? Yes, Lord, you gave it to me. And so I go to the next church priest. Well, that's really nice. I said, isn't it? Isn't God good to us? You know what he said? He sure is. I thought, man, that's a lot better kind of interaction. You know, listen, really it's this. We should never be ashamed of the goodness God gives us. It should always be a point of rejoicing. Listen, if he says there, let the brother of low degree rejoice that he's exalted. And listen, don't downplay God's goodness to you in fear of being prideful. Listen to what I'm saying to you. Don't downplay God's goodness to you because you're afraid you're going to be prideful. Isn't it funny that we're I'm afraid I'm going to be prideful, so I'm going to be unthankful. So which sin is the greater one? I don't, you know, I'm going to swap sins. You know what I mean? And listen, but here's this. So you ever seen somebody, y'all seen people, maybe you were the person, that you started trying to explain God's goodness, and by the time you kind of felt a little bit prideful, like popping your chest out, you know, and the suspenders are breaking, you know, and you're just thinking, wow, look how good. And almost kind of, and so listen, just don't be prideful in rejoicing in God's goodness. Listen, it's not your goodness. It's His goodness. I think if I would, in a practical way, I'd say this. If I'm telling you about how good I am, I've kind of crossed the line, haven't I? I'm telling you about how good I am. You know what I want you? I want you to rejoice in my goodness. But if I'm talking about how good God is, how can I be prideful talking about how good God has been to me? Unless I'm switching it and say how I deserve it. Well, I have worked really hard, right? I've done this, or, you know, I've got this education, I've done this, and I've done all these things. And so we can, you understand, we can slip into this thing of rejoicing about how good I've been. And so, but listen, when God's good to us, let's rejoice. It's okay. Tell others about it. It's okay. It's all right. That's what he says here. Let the one of low degree rejoice that he is exalted. But then we find one verse that tells us about that. So let's don't get carried away with that idea. You understand what I'm saying? One verse that says, let the brother low degree rejoice when he is exalted. Period. That's done. So don't make that your life's mission. You understand what I'm saying? He does say it. It's okay. But now it's like, you know what I'm going to do? I think I'm going to spend my life rejoicing and kind of how everything happened. It's one verse. Now, let's go on. Look at verse 9 again. He said, let's go on. I already talked about that. So the other side, though, is quite a bit different. So when the rich is made low, it's much easier to rejoice when things go up. You know what I'm saying? It's much easier to rejoice when things go up than to rejoice when things go down. You know, when you buy your house and all of a sudden, you know, after COVID, it's worth like twice the value. You're like, whoo-hoo, right? It's not so good when there's a real estate plummet and it's worth half the value. Right? There's a praise God for this and there's a woe is me. You know what I mean? So it's a little different situation, isn't it? We kind of come into this thing. But the point that's being made here of what James is writing about here is that rejoicing is this. Rejoicing in what God is, that God is doing something in your life regardless of what it looks like to you. Okay, listen. It's easy to rejoice when things get better. Right? Praise the Lord, what He did for me. Not as easy to rejoice when you're sick and you're in the hospital, you lost your job, you got demoted. Whoever gets demoted and doesn't think it's unfair? Right? I was up here, they moved my job. Those people, we wagged their... You know what I mean? I don't think I've ever heard somebody say, you know, I got demoted because, you know, there was just a better guy. Nobody says that, right? It's much harder to realize God's doing something when we're coming down to that place. Nobody really likes it. Listen, life going downward is the trial, but it's part of this life. Look at verse 10 now. But the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Listen, your worth, and your value are not wrapped up in your wealth. You're not worth something to God because of how much money you have in your bank account. Can I say this? You're not worth something to this body of Christ because of how much income you make. You understand? That's not our worth is not wrapped up. Our worth and our value is not wrapped up in our wealth. If it was, we would sell seats. Right? We'd sell seats. We would put the names on the sides. You know, this is my seat. And, you know, in the old days, they'd have these different places where the people, the wealthy ones, they'd get the front. Now they'd be buying the back ones. You know what I'm saying? If they're in a Baptist church. And so, listen, I'm just saying, listen, our worth and our value is not wrapped up in our wealth. God is more concerned with your spirit. God's concerned with your spirit. So sometimes we need to have these things reduced in our life so that we might be mature in Him. Sometimes God will allow these things, will bring these things, allow them to come and allow these things to come into our life, whether it's health, whether it's your financial situation, whether it's relationships, whether it's your status. God will allow those things to come down in your life so that you might mature in Him. No one really likes that. So much sweeter when we're going up. I want God to use some things in my life by promoting me and giving me more money, better prestige, and better, you know. God, would you work in my life that way? Right? Y'all see what I'm getting here? You know, it's great when God, you know, tries me by making life better. That doesn't even feel like a trial, does it? Though it is, having more doesn't make life easier. Like, well, I think it would, you know. There becomes more responsibilities. I've seen more stressful, wealthy people than I've seen stressed, poor people. I really have. Listen, no one really likes this being brought down, but God is working in you when this happens. So what's the result of such things? He says here in verse 12, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him." So the crown of life he talks about here. So he's talking about these situations particularly here, and blessed is the man that endures this. And so who will it be that receives this crown of life? Well, I mean, how many trials do we have to go through, and how much temptations, how much faith has to be exercised in order to receive this crown of life? So who exactly did the Lord promise this crown to? It's a little bit, is there a kind of love or a level of love, or how does this thing work? And so sometimes we like to really put these things in good boxes. Do you know what I mean? We want to kind of, what boxes do I need to check off to get this thing? You know, sometimes we'd like it to be that way. I want you to notice something. If you keep your place there in James, and turn to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 8. He says unto the angel of the church of Smyrna, right? "These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee crown of life." Well, so we find the same language here, don't we? We find the same language, this crown of life. So sometimes here in the book of Revelation, it's referred to as the martyr's crown. So those that are faithful unto death, literally. Those that not only get thrown in prison, but are faithful unto death. So we find it's often there. Sometimes people refer to it as the martyr's crown. This is a crown for those that give their life standing for the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's that. But there in the book of Revelation, it's a direct reference to the working of the devil, casting men into prison and death. It's the work of the devil. The terminology is the same, but here in the book of James, Is this referring to the same thing? Again, in verse 12, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him." So this is certainly, obviously, a different situation. Look at verse 13. "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth He any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." So we find here that this is specifically not the temptation of the devil, of this bringing, nor is it of God. Certainly it's not of God, but it's of man's own lust. Man's own lust. And we're going to look further into this next time in the future. But I want us to finish our thought this morning. there in verse 12. Blessed is man that endureth temptation. This life is going to perish. It's going away. It's difficult. It's challenging. It's difficult to lose what we have. I've had 20/20 vision my whole life. I love being able to see. You know what I mean? This past year, now I can't hardly read without using these things. I mean, now it used to be like, oh yeah, I don't really need that, you know. And I'm like, you know, I was just kind of. Now I look at here, I see blur. Can I tell you, you know, for some of y'all that have dealt with that your whole life or longer, you're like, yeah, what a big deal. Okay, maybe now. When this first starts coming, it's frustrating. I don't want to lose what I have. You know what I'm saying? And you're like, well, that's just big. I can put these on and I'm good. Yeah, I can. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But I liked it better when I didn't need to keep track of these and have my wife keep track. Where's my glasses? I don't have any. I'm going to have to stand back here. You know what I'm saying? I've been like that times. I've forgot my glasses. I'm preaching back here. You know? It works. We don't like to lose stuff. Who wants to lose income? Right? Who likes to lose the situation? Losing what we have is challenging. It hurts to have our life challenged, for difficulties to come. It's painful, especially in the form of losing our estate, our position. Some people are so enamored by the position they have among men that the thought of losing that is very, actually, to some it's even to the point of depressing. That I'm going to lose this place, that I'm going to, you know, did you get it for yourself? Right? Do we believe God gave this thing? And so, listen, it is, but listen, still challenging. Still challenging. But this life is passing away. It's just part of it. This isn't all there is. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. There's a future for sure. The trying of our faith will not destroy what is great. What I mean, listen, the trying of our faith, the losing of maybe some of our status and maybe some of our position, maybe some of our things. And I know, listen, it's so much easier to talk about this when you're not the one experiencing it currently. You try to tell the person that just, you know, they lost their job. Hey, listen, God's really doing something in your life. Yeah. That's not a good relationship building tool. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? By the way, you know, when things go down for you and I come and say, hey, bro, hey, God's doing something. Aren't you excited? No, that's not the time. You know what the thing is? The time is like right now. Let's get this thinking. Let's get this truth so that when that comes in my life, somebody doesn't need to have come up to tell me, yeah, you should be having joy right now. No, instead, we get that for ourselves, and when God brings something, then we're thinking, huh, wonder what God does. That hurts. It hurts, still hurts. Still challenging, still difficulty. But the wisdom comes from knowing God's doing something, and that's what gets exciting with this thing. And so, listen, the trying of our faith will not destroy what is great. It will only perfect that which is eternal. That is my relationship with the Lord. That's listen, my trust in Him. What a joy it is when I get to have my mettle tested. Right? Don't you like tests? I mean, when you think you can pass them. Anybody that really wants to I don't want to say show your stuff, but, you know, people say, well, you know, do you like trivia? Some people like trivia. I hate trivia. My mind doesn't work well with that. Some of these things, these logic puzzles, and I, no, it just hurts my head. Some people, you know, we get in there. There's this couple or two. They said, "Yeah, we were with our family. We did this trivia. So yeah, we won." And they were so proud of it. I mean, you know, they were excited about it. I'm thinking, "Oh, congratulations!" You know, but the fact is, you know, sometimes we want to show maybe sometimes what we know. We want to, you know, you get in a conversation with somebody. They ask you a question about things of God, and you're able to give the answer. I can remember the first time I was able to give an answer. When somebody asked a Bible question, I thought, oh, I know that. I couldn't even believe it that I knew it. I went from knowing nothing to all of a sudden somebody asked a question and I knew the answer. I thought, how did I know that? Well, just, you know, living for the Lord and listening, receiving, you know, hearing and doing something. I'm saying, listen, what a joy it is to get my mettle tested, because it's really this. God said, you know what? I think you can be tried. I think you can be tried. God said, you know, I think I'm going to bring this to you because I think you can handle it. So, you know, you're looking at, who are you pointing at, God? You sure ain't me, right? Listen, that God can display the faithfulness of His children to the wicked one. That God could say that one. Just as He did with Job. He said in Job 1:8, He said, the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Could you imagine? He said, man, I'm glad it wasn't Job. I'm sure Job thought the same thing at the time. I mean, he would have thought, I wish it was someone else. But I mean, what a thing when God can look at you and God chooses you to be the one who says, I'm going to show the world what can happen when a man is afflicted with cancer. What they can do, and they can still live for me and tell others about me. Wow. I'm not asking God to do that to me. Right? But if He does, I want to have this truth. I want to have this truth. Listen, I don't know what all is going on in heaven right now with God. I'll be honest. I don't know everything God's up to. Right? And I don't know how it's always going to play out in our lives. Sometimes we kind of have a, we like to kind of sit down and try to figure out what's happening, don't we? Like, well, I think what's, you know, and I've realized that assuming some things really gets me in a bad place because, you know, reading the signs and the wonders in their life, I think this is what's going on, and then something else comes out, and I'm like, oh, nope, missed that one. And listen, I don't always know what God's doing, and that's not really, but I know what the Scripture's telling us here. In verse 12, he said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Blessed are you when you endure with faith. Your life will be blessed. There'll be joy beyond that thing. You'll do it because, but you'll only do it because you're looking to the Lord. You won't do it because you're strong. You understand what I'm saying? You won't do it because you're just, I'm just really this great Christian. You'll do it because you're looking to the Lord and you love Him. This trying of our faith is a wonderful thing. It really is. What a joy. And I've said it so many times already, but I'm not asking God. God, could you bring some trouble to my life so I could show my stuff? No. No, that sounds a little bit crazy. But God, really, I think it's more like this. God, when you do bring something to my life, I want to stand for you and make a difference. If you'll bring this. Listen, a brother said, I don't want it, but if I do get back in there, that's okay. I'm glad for it so I can be a testimony. That's the spirit we're talking about, this. That's the attitude. Not like, God, bring trouble in my life, see what I can do. Well, yeah, you watch. But this, God, if that comes to my life, I'm going to trust you knowing you have a plan. And that's what James was telling us here. And it's an exciting thing. Brings joy to our life. And we can, I'll just tell one story, and then we'll close for this morning. Is we were in, many years ago, we were in Iowa. And I was pastoring a church there, and we were, you know, we had our sixth kid there, and we had all, and they wanted to eat every day. Every day they wanted to eat, and we were running out of food, and when we were getting to that place, and I realized two things. I realized God's not going to leave us hungry. Probably could use a diet. I'm not saying that, but He wasn't going to leave us hungry. And so God was going to be doing something. And I can remember at that time saying to my wife, this is going to be exciting. I don't know what God's doing, but He's doing something. I wasn't for a moment worried I wasn't going to be able to feed my kids. I never thought that. I never thought, oh, no. We're not going to be able to feed our kids. We're all going to die. You know what I'm saying? I never thought that. I thought this was going to be exciting. And listen, I'll tell you, it was probably the first time in my life I really remember that truth actually applied in my life. I've been taught that truth. I understand that truth, understood it. But now it was the time to where, now here it is. If I didn't get the hold of that in my heart before then, it was too late. Do you understand? It was too late. So I'll tell you, what an exciting thing it was. And I remember just thinking, God's got something in plan, and He did. And listen, that's what this is about, grabbing a hold of the fact that God is going to be working in my life. Whatever He's doing, trust Him. Father, I pray that You would help us this morning. You would take this truth, the book of James, and Lord, as we continue through it these weeks ahead, Lord, I pray that You would help us to take this principle that You've given us on how to endure the temptation. And Lord, You want to do so much in our lives. And Lord, help us to remember this life right here isn't the end game. Lord, we're not preparing to just end this life well. We're preparing for eternity. Lord, I pray that You would, Lord, do a work in our hearts. And Lord, pray that You take these truths and hide them deep within. And we'll thank You for it now. In Jesus' name.